that Joseph is a shadow. He's a type of Christ. John, can you read that passage in Matthew 3:17?
This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased.
This, of course, is talking about Jesus, isn't he? At the baptism in the Jordan. And God the Father is saying what? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You see, the Word became flesh and dwelled among us. Jesus said what? I've come to what? Seeking to save that which is lost. You know, sometimes we may be all discombobulated and discombobulated in the sense of who we are and what we're supposed to be doing. But Jesus never was. He understood who he was, and he understood he was on a mission from the Father. The Father sent him that he might be that propitiation for sin, that he might give his life as a ransom, that we might, being sinful, be washed clean, made perfectly whole, and put back into right relationship to God. Jesus is the much beloved Son of God. Now, I want to make a couple little examples for you this morning. And write these verses down. I've asked John to read them. You write them down because you're going to say to yourself, I don't like that. I don't believe that. That's okay. Write them down. Go back and read them for yourself. Okay? First of all, who's the first man? Adam. Adam is God's first created man, is he not? God took dust, the ruah, the wind of God, the Holy Spirit of God, breathed in his nostrils and gave him life. God created Adam. If we were reading later in the epistles to Paul, Paul would say, that's the first Adam, Jesus is the second. So we have Adam. The reason I'm saying that is because I want you to notice something. Adam is not the firstborn son of God. Adam is the first created being, but he's not the firstborn son. John, read number 2.
Exodus 4:22.
Write that down. I don't want you coming up afterwards and say, oh, I don't know. Write that down. Okay.
And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn.
Ooh. So Moses goes to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. They've been in bondage for 200 years now. And Moses tells Pharaoh that Israel is God's firstborn son. Joseph's father, Jacob, loved him so much. He was a unique to him. He was the special one to him. He had a destiny only Joseph could carry out. And Jacob understood that and presented to him and clothed him in that coat of many colors. And then as we go along and we see the unfolding revelation of God, God says through Moses that Israel is my firstborn son. Now listen a second. Jacob loved Joseph. Was there anything he wouldn't do for Joseph? Mm-mm. Matter of fact, we might say he would go to extremes for Joseph. He made this coat. Listen, Israel is God's firstborn son. Whether you know it or not, whether you acknowledge it or not, or any of those kind of things, listen, Jerusalem is the apple of God's eye. Israel is God's firstborn son. Now, I don't know about you, and I don't know how your eschatology and all of those things work out, but I think to myself, as I've looked in these past few weeks, is the Middle East on fire or what? All down through the Middle East, all the way over into the Far East, any Muslim country They're rioting, tearing up, throwing bombs, burning things down, killing people. Sometimes they kill themselves, their own brothers in the flesh. And I think to myself, if Israel is God's firstborn son, and he loves them in this very special way, and God has made Israel the repositor of his glory in Jesus, and Jesus one day is coming back again, and where is he coming back to? Earth? The Eastern Gate? You know, it's a very interesting, I can't go there. He's coming back again. You know what? I hate to say this because it'll sound terrible. God's got Israel covered. Oh, they're surrounded by all kinds of folks that say, drive them into the sea, kill them all. Let's make a bomb, destroy them all. You've heard all that rhetoric, haven't you? Surely you have. They're completely surrounded. This little island in the sea of what? I'd say hatred. But listen, God's got them covered. They're not going anyplace until God says, we're finished. But I look out there and I see this and I think to myself, you know, I'm no prophet and I'm no seer or anything like that. But guess what, guys? I don't want to scare you, but we're just that close to World War III. It's there. It's a boiling cauldron. It's bubbling over. It's spewing everywhere. And those folks are filled with hate and rage. And they're just marching in the streets and doing all kinds of things. And their whole desire is that one day, not too distant future, is to literally destroy the nation of Israel altogether. Somebody needs to tell them. God's got Israel covered. They're not going anyplace. Did you ever hear of the Six-Day War? All those kind of things? You know, when we were in Israel not too many years ago, our guide told us one thing, and I've never forgotten it. He said, the Arab countries can lose many wars. We can lose only one. Ooh, I think he had it. He had it. If Israel defeats Egypt and sends them reeling, Israel then says, hey, let's make peace. You guys stay at home for a while. We'll stay over here. We'll even give you some land. Here, take some of this part of the Sinai. You can have that back. We don't want it. It's yours. Take it. God has got them covered. All right. Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. So we have Adam, the first created man. We have Israel as the first born son. Jesus is the begotten Son. John, you got Matthew 3:17?
Galatians.
No, Matthew 3:17. I may have put it out of order for you. I'm sorry. It's the only one that doesn't have a number on it.
Matthew 3:17. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.
The Father loves the Son. The Father loves the Son. The mission of the Son was to bring redemption to the world. The Father loves the Son. John, read the one that says number 3 on it.
Galatians 3:16. Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ.
You see, it's a very interesting thing. When we get back there in Genesis, we read that God makes a promise to Abraham that he's going to do what? Bless the whole world through his seed. He's going to make them like stars of the heaven and sands of the sea. And we get to thinking, this is the biological descendants of Israel. All these folks running around who can claim Abraham as their father. That's the highest fulfillment of that prospect. It's not. It's part of it. That's one level. But the other level is, and Paul reminds us in Galatians, he said, no, it's not seeds plural, it's seed one, Jesus. You see, God is going to use Abraham. He's going to use his descendants. What tribe is Jesus from? Anybody know? Judah! The lion of the tribe of Judah is Jesus. And God is going to bless the whole world through the seed of Abraham. Through Jesus Christ, who is Lord. But you know what? If you know Jesus here today, guess whose family you're in? You say, not me, brother. I don't. We watched some kind of silly movie last night, and some kind of Chinese, what was that guy's name, Jimmy Chong or something like that? And he was in the West, and he was karate chopping people, going to save the princess or something like that. And some guy comes along in a wagon or something like that, and the wife says, you know, those are funny looking Indians. He says, those aren't Indians, those are Jews. I think that's what we think. Those people are Jews. We're not them. Wait a second. We're of the household and family of Abraham if we placed our faith and trust in Jesus. And listen, you should be very thankful for that, because then that means that God has adopted you into his household. God has made you a part of this great fulfillment of prophecy in Abraham. Read that passage, John chapter 4, or not chapter 4, verse number 4.
According to the promise.
You got it? Do we need amplification? Do the number 5, John.
Romans 8:14. As for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Go ahead and read number 6.
1 John 3:1-2. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God.
Yes, wow. Adam's the first created being. Israel is the first born son. Jesus is the begotten Son of God. And we have been made partakers of that glory in Christ Jesus. That means that we're part of the forever household and family of God. We are descendants of Abraham by faith through Christ. We have been brought into that promise. We are part of that great, great, great endeavor of salvation. We're supposed to be propagating the word of God throughout the world, telling everyone that we meet that Jesus is Lord and that he's Savior of the world. That's who we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be the missionary people of God, with all the benefits that come that way. Let me just tell you a few things really quickly. I know I'm probably going way over. Jesus and Joseph. Joseph is a type of Christ. Listen, both were the much beloved of their father. Joseph was sent by the father to his brothers. Jesus was sent from the father to his brethren. Did they receive him? The Bible said they received him not. Did Joseph's brother say, oh boy, look, here comes that dreamer. We love that guy. Reuben tried to rescue Joseph, didn't he? Kind of a weak response, but he tried. You know, There was another guy in the New Testament that tried to rescue Jesus right at the very last. Who was that guy? Pilate. What a strange person to be standing in to say, hey, I can find no fault with this man. Pilate. Both went to Egypt and came back. Both were falsely accused. Both were sold for the price of a slave. Did you know that? Joseph for 20 pieces of silver. Inflation. Slaves went up 30 pieces when Jesus came along. Both became in the position. Joseph, his brothers did what when they finally found out that he was? They bowed. Just like the dream. Oh. Somebody read that passage this morning. That one day, and I don't think it's all that far down the road, every knee is going to bow before Jesus. Like it or not. Because he's Lord. Joseph's brother didn't recognize him. But did you know that Joseph was called a savior? Yeah, back when Genesis chapter 47, verse 35, you can look that up later. And of course, Jesus is called the Savior in Acts 13. Joseph was put in the pit to die. Jesus was hung on the cross, and he did die. But he was raised again the third day. There's so many similarities. Matter of fact, I saw, now you'll be really proud. One place I found, this guy said there's 32 different similarities between Joseph and Jesus. One said 20. I just reduced it down a little bit for you. Can you see that there is similarities there? Can you see there's a shadow and a type of Joseph in Joseph that is in Jesus? Joseph had a coat of many colors that showed that he was the beloved son of the Father. God's got you covered. Did you know that? God's got you covered. Now, you know, when I say that, you know what we ought to do? I told Vondell that, you know, this is either going to be the terrible and most weakest sermon you ever heard in your life, or it's going to make some sense to you. But I thought to myself, you know what? I told her, you know, she needs to get on the piano. And when I say, God's got you covered, she goes, bum, 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 you know. Have some trumpets. Da, 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 da. Because really, when I say God's got you covered, you ought to say, amen. When I say God's got you covered, you ought to be going like that. But of course, we're very dignified, folks. And we would just nod our head. Yes. Yes, that's true. God's got us covered. I don't know. God does have us covered. I'm going to read I'm going to have to hurry. Verse 18 says this very interesting thing. Chapter 37, still. And when they saw him afar off, they saw Joseph, they even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. Did you see that? They conspired against him to slay him. Now, that really wasn't the first time they thought about this. They'd kind of been thinking about it all along. Listen, what's wrong with us this morning is when I say, God's got you covered, and we go, yes, that's marvelous. Thank you, preacher, for that word. What's wrong with us is we don't realize that we're in a spiritual battle. We're in a spiritual war. And there's an ebb and flow to it. And sometimes we have victories and sometimes we have defeats. But God has got us covered. There's a spiritual battle going on. We need to recognize that. There is, let me tell you, there is evil in the world. Did you know that? There really is. Unmedicated, naked, horrible evil. It's there. And it tries to sneak into everything. Permeate the whole lump. I don't suspect that is not here today. Some of us aren't where we ought to be. Some of us have decided, all this spiritual armor stuff that God has talked to Paul about over there, you know, putting on the whole armor of God and, you know, taking the shield of faith and the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation. All that's just anthropomorphism. That's just a big symbol. I get the picture in my eye, but I don't need to do that. I'm saved. And the reason you aren't having victory is because you think that way. God didn't tell you those things so that you could say that's optional. Those are insignificant facts. You won't walk, you won't stand unless you do the things that God tells you to do. That's all there is to it. And listen, there's not many walking and not many standing today. The devil has got a great victory. God's got you covered, though. Amen. Thanks, Karen. Now listen, down there in verse 23, and it came to pass when Joseph was come to his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his coat of many colors that was on him. You see, this is a very interesting thing. You thought I was talking about Joseph's coat when I was saying God's got you covered. Joseph was covered in that coat. Listen, it's just a coat. It don't mean nothing without God being there. The coat reflected visual and object lesson for us that God had his hand on Joseph. And so his brothers, and you know what? That's the one good thing about our enemy. He's very shallow. His brothers thought, let's strip that coat off of him. Let's take that significance away from him. Let's take that pointer, that sign of his greatness and his destiny in God. Let's take that away and strip that from him. And guess what? They did it, but they couldn't. Because it wasn't just a coat that had him covered. It was God who had him covered. They sold him into slavery, did they not? They put him into slavery. He was sold into Potiphar's house. He was made chief of that. And his wife said, boy, that's a good looking guy. And Joseph ends up where? Jail. Prison. Boy, how's that dream working out, Joseph? Listen, you know, we need some of those things in our life. Did you know that? We need some of that adversity sometimes. We need to understand that God's raking off the barnacles. God's preparing. Was not God... See, you know the rest of the story, don't you? God was preparing Joseph. Oh, he was put in prison. But God had a plan to bring him before Pharaoh and make him second in power only to Pharaoh. Listen, God had him covered all along. I think to myself, God had him covered when he came out of his mother's womb. Amen. God had his hand on him when he came from his mother's womb. Listen, some of these beautiful children around here, guess what? God's got their hand, he's got his hand on them. Oh, what did Jesus say about attacking and harming children? It'd be better for you to have a millstone around your neck and throw it in the deepest sea than to harm one of these children. Oh, my friends, listen. Some of these folks are going to go before God Almighty, and they're going to go before God with blood all over their hands. And he's going to say to them, oh, I'm sorry that you did not have a childhood that was marvelous and wonderful. I'm sorry that somebody abused you. No, he's not going to say any of that. He's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. And guess what? It works the other way, too. We're supposed to be helping these children, aren't we? Aren't we? We're supposed to be instructing them and giving them examples to follow so that they might one day grow up from that little sprout into a mighty oak tree for God. realizing the whole potential of who they are in Jesus. And we have the privilege of being part of that process of discipleship and growth. Listen, God's got them covered. God's got a purpose for them. God's got a purpose for you. How about you do it? How about you get excited about what God is doing? You're in a spiritual war. Everybody needs to get on the line. Everybody needs to take up the battle cry. Everybody needs to take their position. Everybody is needed. We're in a spiritual battle. Oh, we win in the end. We win in the end because God's got us covered, hidden in the palm of His hand. Oh, what manner of love it is that God should bestow upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Whew. Listen, anybody that tells you, I don't care if it's this afternoon or tomorrow, that you're worthless, just chalk it up. That's the devil talking. Click it off. Click it off. Don't give it any countenance whatsoever. You are not worthless. You are valuable. You are special to God. And God wants to bring you up and use you just like Joseph if you'll let Him. And all my friends, we need to see the Josephs stand now more than ever. Father God, we thank You for Your love and Your mercy in our lives. We thank You, Lord, that You know the end from the beginning. You are the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. It doesn't make any difference what some late night comic says on television. It doesn't make any difference whether there's 100,000 people in the streets burning and pillaging and screaming. All these terrible things. You've got us covered. We're in Your palms of Your hands. You're engraven in those palms. My name is there. Your name is there. Oh Lord, open our eyes that we can see that all around us is the protection, the provision of God for us. Nothing's wanting. Everything's there. We've just got to reach out and claim that victory that is ours because we are the sons of God. Father, even this morning, as we come to this place of invitation, maybe there's that one here this day who's been struggling. Maybe they're saying, my life is a mess. It's hell at my house. I don't know about yours. Father God, speak to that heart. Touch it. Give it life to You again. Help them to see there's no weapon formed against man that can prevail against the child of God. Lord, maybe there's someone here this morning who Your Spirit's been speaking to and they need to make a commitment to their life. They need to get enlisted. They've been watching on the sidelines. They've been saying, well, maybe this Jesus thing is okay. Today is the day of salvation. Father God, You work and we'll give You the praise and the glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen.